line, guys.
Everybody, yeah. Did you take a look through the minutes, see if we see anything for in there?
I'm still going through. That's the biggest agenda I've ever seen.
I know, right?
Will be.
Yeah, I know. You hate anything more than one item.
Celebrating the 88th birthday. And got a Facebook.
Ooh, too far. Too far. I tried. Did it end up in the chair? No, it went under the chair. Sorry, George. Yep.
For me. But she did look a day over 84.
I was supposed to respond to you. Acoustics.
Yes.
Have you found anything out?
No.
So you want to improve the acoustics in one of the...
Good. 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 Find out people coming in and going.
It's about here.
Travel.
Yeah, every couple months. Just
a little bit.
Well, who can do the...
Not that I not that
sound
I don't
ideas.
Like to, but
they do home installations all the time.
I gotta watch my
phone.
I'm waiting.
And
that's probably the biggest cause.
You don't need to.
But no, it went fine. How about you?
Oh yeah.
I'd rather have you
not
do it.
Yeah, except was I love
it. Okay. Well, I don't know.
I'm ashamed to say, but I'm not going to do it myself.
About 5 years ago,
I got quite involved in the Hallmark Channel. I watched at least two of them. And I thought they were jolly good. Everything ends happily. That's totally improbable. But tonight,
he had a person come over from
my levers now. I thought he was gone completely.
And figure out the.
I'd never heard of it.
The decibels of the minor thing on what's the pitch and the remuneration.
It was so nice.
But this guy, no one knows where his notes are.
And I've got a personal
that I just need a little relief from all this stuff that's going on around the world now. Anyway, you just need to need to run and hide.
No, we face it. We don't run. You face it. He's a bully. You face him. Bully's wrong. It's like that BB gun thing.
This is
my wife always watches at Christmas. The little kid with the BB gun in his eye goes out. That one, you know.
Place all the ceiling tiles with the ceiling tiles.
What a wonderful life.
What a wonderful life.
No. They had gotten them and they called the company. They said, we can fix it for this.
Okay. I don't remember what that is.
They don't know what that is.
Hey Bruce, can you pass
it's like
that
money?
It was
money.
I don't know about that. I'm sure there's acoustics out there. I'm sure they do.
Hey, meeting will please come to order. Okay, we have a quorum. So, first item, I'm going to make one change quick to the agenda before we look at it otherwise. Under item 5,
agenda number 4,
we're going to add a number C to that, and it's going to be to deal with the City of Gainesville memorandum we got from the mayor, and which has been assigned to us to look at by the Board of County Commissioners.
Good.
And then, I think that's the only change we need to make to it. Any other changes?
What item was the change in 5?
Under 5, adding an item C there.
Yeah.
Deal with the City of Gainesville. Essentially, they passed an ordinance which bans the use of expanded polystyrene containers in single-use plastic bags this last Thursday.
Yep.
The first reading. It'll be a second reading sometime this month to finish it.
And then a McDonald's.
So, okay, do I have a motion to accept the agenda?
Seconded.
Okay, motion seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None heard. Motion passes. We have a motion on the review and adoption of December 4th minutes.
I move to accept them.
You have a second on that?
Second.
Okay, thank you. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None heard. The motion passes. The minutes from last month are also accepted. Okay, brief update by Stacy Greco. Stacy, come back in yet?
Nope,
she's in the next room. On a proposed summer fertilizer ban. I understand the state's considering that too. Okay, so you know, this might be something which we're not all that out of sync with them on. Although I don't know if that's just so much posturing by our new governor. know what. We'll find out soon.
Sorry, Peter. No, it's not called for.
But he didn't have the friendliest campaign, so... You know.
And there she is, magically appearing.
Triumph.
Hi, Stacy.
Sorry, I'm Stacy Greco with the county's Environmental Protection Department. I see some familiar faces, some new ones. I'm just giving you a quick update, so I won't take much of your time. Some of you may know we have a fertilizer code that regulates residential fertilizer. So this isn't agriculture, this is residential. And we just updated it to add this beauty. So we now require places that are selling fertilizers have to be hanging this sign. So if you are out and you're in a place that has fertilizers and you don't see this sign, you can let me know, or you can let Steven know and he'll let me know. Staff went around and distributed these in November, because fertilizers are banned December, January, February. Isn't that what it says?
Yes.
That is what it says. Thank you. So that's one thing that we've done with that code, because we're trying to improve water quality. But we're going to take it a step further. We're making some other changes to our water quality code, and while we open it up again, we are talking about adding a summer ban. So a lot of you are probably familiar with the algal blooms in South Florida, and we're looking at adding the ban so it would also include June, July, August, September. So that would make us the first county that has two blackout periods, so the summer and the winter. The problem with the winter is that, you know, the plants are sleeping, so they're not sucking up the nutrients, so the fertilizer can just go right through the groundwater, or, you know, it can impact our springs and our groundwater. Summer, we're more concerned about rains washing that fertilizer off and impacting our surface waters. So we are looking at... adding that language in, hoping in February to go to the board, that first meeting in February, I think it's the 12th, to ask for permission to advertise, starting to reach out. I've had meetings with IFAS, let them know, you know, we've been considering this, I need to send them the draft. We'll reach out to the state and the different agencies, let them know that we're considering doing this. It used to be more difficult for local governments to be stricter than the state model ordinance. I think now with everything we've seen in the last year or so, that should be fairly smooth sailing. So if I go to the board and ask for permission to advertise in February, we'll have a public hearing in March, and then we will possibly have a summer ban in place before this summer. Then we'll have to do a lot of education and outreach to the industry. We've done some already, need to do a little bit more. A lot of them have already changed their practices because of other counties and areas having summer bans. So a lot of them are no longer using nitrogen and phosphorus in the summer. Yes?
Do you have a feel for how big of an impact it will actually have?
On the industry or on the water?
On the water.
Not so much, because it's challenging to know, you know, we don't really have that data. I mean, we have survey data.
Yeah, I mean...
Like self-reported survey data of what people, how often people fertilize. So we could go in there, we could look at that data and try to extrapolate. Because I think we even have asked them what months, but I don't know how accurate that data is going to be. If someone does a phone survey to you, are you going to remember when you spread that fertilizer?
So this does not ban the stores from selling it.
Correct.
It's only from using it.
Correct.
Because I was in Home Depot and Lowe's.
Correct.
Today. Both places. Mm-hmm. Neither have that sign up.
Okay, which Home Depot and Lowe's?
The Home Depot on 441 mm-hmm. and the Lowe's on 13th.
Okay. Yeah, we've got an intern going out. We're going to do some secret shoppers. So he's going to be looking for them. I know one of the Home Depots, I think, was that Home Depot or Lowe's that Hutch said he saw it all over the place?
It was at Home Depot.
Okay. Yeah, the corporate stores were actually pretty easy to work with. I mean, I think they've, you know, they've realized that, you know, they need to get on board and help get the message out. But yes, they can still sell it. We are, to my knowledge, we are still preempted from a sales ban.
Now, there are other counties that already have a summer ban in place, but no winter ban? Is that the one?
Correct. Yeah, there's several counties now that have a summer ban. Mm-hmm. I think we're the only one with the winter.
Because that's our rainy season, so it only makes sense, right, during the heavier rainy season not to have a
Yeah, especially not, South Florida, you know, it doesn't get as cold there in the winter, too. So. Other questions? Okay. Yes.
Is there a penalty if people do fertilize? And is that ever something that you catch and enforce?
Yeah, so enforcement is challenging. We're not hiding in people's garages. It's easier to enforce with the contractors, because every once in a while we will get a call. Someone say, hey, we saw, I love my lawn out fertilizing, and we can call the company, stuff like that. We can do enforcement with the sign with the stores, because that's pretty easy to go see. I'm going to go shut Lowe's down. I don't have that kind of power. But as far as like what residents are doing, there's really not going to be any enforcement there. We could look into, it would take a little bit of staff and budget. I know Pinellas County, they have staff that if they see people out, because the companies are still going to be out working on people's yards, they're just not going to be using nitrogen and phosphorus in what they're putting on the lawn. They have staff that collects samples from the companies, and then they have it analyzed for nitrogen and phosphorus. I don't know that we have that budgeted right now, but that we could do. Yes.
Are you speaking with associations around town?
Like the homeowners associations?
Because they tend to have rules that go against nature.
That's a good point. I do have a not a complete list of homeowner associations, but I have a lot of the management companies that they hire, and we do send them emails when the irrigation restrictions change, but I should also send them an email about the winter fertilizer ban and if we get the summer one, so that's a good point.
Sure, do you have any objection to it?
That's all specifically. I got beat up. I have a whole career of, I got marks on my back. And holes in my back, and some of you know what I'm talking about on this issue. I've been out away from it for quite a while now, so I don't even know what IFAS is saying. What are they? You said you met with them. What?
So I met with Lori Trenholm, Michael Dukes, Wendy Wilbur, and Essen Momol, all with IFAS, and I let them know that this was coming. I didn't know it was coming so quickly. This was back when we were just kind of had a list of things we were thinking about. And it wasn't a contentious meeting. I think, I don't think they were surprised. They didn't say they would support it, but I didn't get a sense that they'd be showing up at the meeting.
But I doubt that the science has changed very much on fertilizer and nutrient losses from well-maintained urban turf grass.
Sure, they didn't offer any data. They didn't offer data to support nor negate it.
Yeah. Now, what I'm saying is I doubt that the science in the years that I've been away from it, that it has all of a sudden turned 180 degrees, and now the science supports a summer blackout of nitrogen fertilizer on well-maintained turf grass. I doubt that it's changed.
You're saying it doesn't.
It doesn't support.
Okay. There was another question down here, I think.
What was I going to say? I forgot.
But I'm not going to fight you.
Okay.
I'm done.
Great.
No, I specifically asked. I pretty much knew the answer to that question when I brought it.
No more sores on your back. Right?
I'm getting too old.
I'm in the Master Gardeners.
Oh, great.
I haven't heard anything about this.
Okay.
In the Master Gardener.
Okay, like you're in the current class or you're an existing Master Gardener?
I've been
Gardener.
For
okay.
a year, for years. Yeah. And we haven't discussed it.
Okay, like the winter fertilizer ban or the
winter,
any of it.
Summer, you name it.
Okay.
And we have not discussed it.
Okay, I'll reach out to
we
Taylor.
We have discussed irrigation. That's
great.
That's a no. But
okay. Thank you.
Do you see a downside to this sort of thing?
Well, don't drag me into it, David. The main thing about nitrogen loss from any kind of terrestrial environment has to do with water. Mm-hmm. Has to do with water management, and irrigation management is a big part of it. If we have nitrogen, aka blackouts, we need to be saying something about water management. As well.
Which is a great point, which we do try to tie those. So those of you that are new here, we do actively enforce the irrigation restrictions. So trying Right now, one day a week is the maximum. And then we also have an irrigation design code that regulates all new irrigation systems. They have to meet design standards. And that whole thing is to try to minimize overspray and really minimize over-irrigation so that, you know, you're not having that runoff and you're not having the irrigation push the fertilizer beyond the roots. So we're definitely trying to get at that irrigation side of it.
Also. I hope you don't have anything in the language that says you should use potassium and iron instead of nitrogen to green up grass.
We do not, but it's possible that some of the companies might try to be selling that as an alternative.
Because?
There are concerns there?
Well, nitrogen and iron are different. And so if you have yellowed up turf because it's deficient of nitrogen, you're not going to green it up with iron. And that's what a lot of the ordinances around the state actually say. Mm-hmm. Use iron instead of nitrogen to keep the grasses green.
Is your concern that it would damage the grass?
No, it's not. Iron does not replace nitrogen for plant nutrition. So that's what a lot of people have been... A lot of these ordinances, other ordinances in other counties. That's why I'm saying I hope ours, if you're going to go that route and say you can't use nitrogen on turf grass in the summertime, okay, fine, fair enough, you know, it's a democratic society. We can say that if we want. But don't go in there and put stuff that's non-science in the ordinance. That's all I'm saying.
Thank you.
George P.
Where did that misconception come from about iron?
Because... People that are writing a lot of these ordinances have no clue about the science, George. That's one thing I'll say right off the bat.
But I mean,
iron,
pull it out of the air. Oh, let's try iron and
no iron. If you have an iron deficiency, your turf will look yellow, and you can clean up an iron deficiency and make the turf look green by adding iron, as long as the nitrogen is sufficient. But when you don't have iron nitrogen sufficient, you'll have yellow turf. And you can't correct it with iron. Unless you put on, you know, you just happen to mistakenly or inadvertently use iron nitrate as your source of iron. You might get a little temporary green up from it. But a lot of people that are writing these things don't involve the scientists in making sure that the stuff is actually scientifically correct.
Wow.
I just hope that Alachua County doesn't go down that path.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Stacy.
Have a great meeting.
I'm not picking on Stacy. I'm just trying to keep us all between the ditches.
We've finished the comment.
Thank you.
I'm Bob. Scott, I have heard, and this is might be worth researching, that in the Tampa area, that a summer ban on fertilizer application has not been that effective in some areas, but when conjoined with the ban on sales, there are some data to show that it has been effective, and you might want to check with Chris Bird on that. So in other words, the ban on application alone is probably not enough. I haven't added to George's sores on his back, but I'm going to disagree with him a little bit. You should check, we should all check. I don't think there's any ordinances around the state that say you have to use iron or other compounds to green up the lawn. I know there's people that
say. I didn't say have to. I said there's.
I don't think there's anything in the ordinances about iron. I think people are selling it as an alternative, and that may or may not be scientifically valid. But I think that ordinances are silent on iron as far as I know.
I don't.
But, you know, we can. It's easy enough to check that.
It seems like our training can cover some of that, though, right?
Let me just say. Stacy made this sound very smooth, and it probably will be, but this has been a really contentious issue around the state. Scott's dad and I met with IFAS in the last year with the extension dean who's in place and with the research dean who just retired, Ms. Burns, I believe is her name, and the aforementioned Lori and so forth. And this was in response to an op-ed I wrote on this very subject. And my problem was, George, you talked about good science. I think IFAS was perpetrating very bad science in their testimony. Not necessarily the research they were conducted, but Lori and others were going in front of commissions saying 99% of the nitrogen is absorbed on grass if you apply it correctly. I would point out the Springs BMAPs right now, the state's assumptions about nitrogen that leaches off grass is that 20% of it leaches off grass. That's DEP's number in the 13 Springs BMAPs that were just issued. George may be right, if everything's perfect and it's applied perfectly and you don't get a big rain and there's no brown spots on the lawn and everybody knows what they're doing, a very large percentage does get taken up by the grass. But those are ideal conditions. And they're not really real conditions. So, you know, whether a ban in the summer is really going to help, I can't definitively say yes or no. I think if you get a big rain, you're going to get leaching, no question. And maybe without a sales ban, it's not all that effective. But, you know, I just caution you when you look at this that the science, I think IFAS has been really sketchy on the science. And we told them that when we met with them. And so it's not as simple or easy, perhaps, as Stacy indicated. We'll see what IFAS says. They were going to every county commission and city commission meeting in the state up until a year or two ago. And I heard recently they sort of backed off and they're no longer going to these meetings. That may be in response to the activities that Scott's dad and I have been undertaking on this front, because I frankly think the IFAS people to testify to commissions embarrass themselves with what they were saying.
Didn't you skewer the lady who
came here? That was Laura Trenholm.
It was
over this subject.
Yeah.
She was making some rather outrageous.
And then, it was telling to me, and I don't need to pick on Lori. Lori, by the way, we met with the people. Lori volunteered the fact she doesn't use any fertilizer in her lawn, which I found really interesting, but she doesn't. I said, why? I said, well, it grows, it's green, which is...
And there's videos out there where she recommends not using it if you don't need it.
So. Right. So, anyway, one of the questions in that meeting, George, was I asked Lori, do you know what the standard is for nitrogen in springs, since you're in charge of nitrogen on lawns? And she didn't know it. And I think that's not picking on George at all, but some of his colleagues there look at growing grass, and they don't actually look at the impact of what that does to the broader environment. I'll shut up. Thank you, David.
Okay. Mr.
Chair.
And let me finish by saying, George, my asking you to respond to that was in no way to make you look bad. And as on the contrary, we have you as an expert in this committee, and it'd be absolutely foolish of us not to take your advice and listen to what you have to say on the subject. And I learned quite a bit just from your answers on that I didn't know beforehand. I think it's the application of knowledge that's is wrong in our situation in the state of Florida and in our county. It's not the knowledge itself. We just don't. We have all this knowledge, but we don't use it properly, and that's the problem we're going to have. And it may not be possible to use it 100% properly. We have to try and find that which a way to use it that enables us to. If people want to have lawns. But more importantly, we need to keep our water clean. So that's that. And I appreciate your input enough on that, even when I could tell you didn't want to give it. Okay, next item on the agenda. We have three. The first one here is that this was an item I should have cut here because Steve can't make it tonight. And the next item, I'm going to go ahead and skip over the item C. We'll come to it afterwards because I see Patrick's arrived here now. First, I just have a question before I turn it over to you, Patrick. Did we ever get a business plan for?
Not yet.
Okay.
Good. Still waiting on that.
We just have to keep checking because we're responsible for looking at that.
Once they give me a contract, I'll start moving on it. It's a process.
Okay. Meeting's yours for this week's presentation or this month's presentation.
Me?
Yep.
Okay, go ahead. At the very early stages of the cold, so I'm having trouble hearing. Okay, it's already
signed. Glad you're at the end of the table.
As always, my preference is talking rather than doing PowerPoints, but I made one just to be professional for you folks. But at any time, feel free to interrupt and just start asking questions. I'm more than happy to go that direction as well. This is mostly just an update on what we have done since the board's workshop about the comp plan revision that we're proposing or now it's theirs. But the one that originally said, I guess I've got it. This is what it currently says, that everyone I'm sure aware, right. Talking about incineration and mass burn. The issues on why we started addressing it, making sure that what policies we had on paper properly represented what we were doing in practice, in particular burning disaster material and the stuff household hazardous waste does with pharmaceuticals and pesticides, things like that, and just trying to be more transparent to the public. So at the workshop, the presented language, much longer, basic attempt to say burning stuff like yard trash or storm debris is okay, as well as the stuff that hazardous waste has to incinerate. And then EPAC came with theirs, saying that pyrolysis, incineration, and mass burn facilities won't be included in the county. Much cleaner, for sure. The commission didn't bite on either of them. So they gave us some direction. And they really honed in on the plastics portion, because that was brought up a good bit at that meeting. So they took, more than anything else, they wanted to have us come back with something explicitly saying we will not incinerate any plastic or plastic-type materials, rather than saying here's what we can do. So it's more of an exclusion rather than being an inclusion. And then the future land use portion, I'm not too involved in that process. So if it comes to that, I might defer to someone else, hopefully, who knows more. But those were the two directions we were given at the board meeting. So this is what we have come, or are proposing, our kind of first draft that we have as a group been talking about to address the concern that the board gave us. So we have now put forth the use of plastics or plastic-derived materials as a fuel source or feedstock for a waste energy facility is prohibited in the county solid waste system. So that's kind of where we have settled to try and address their direction. The remaining elements from their, what they have requested from us that we are still trying to figure out if they need to be addressed further or if the wording we have currently is fine, deals with what types of incineration or combustion activities are explicitly prohibited or not. So by that, I think they're talking about the household hazardous waste stuff, making sure we're not putting ourselves back in the same issue of saying that we're not doing something when in practice it is. And then the land use, future land use element. And this is more just information. I gave a tour of our La Vida Brown Environmental Park to David, and he brought up some questions, and I wanted to make sure that we touched on those because I didn't have all of the information at the moment. EPD provided this about household hazardous waste and how their material is disposed of. So 70% is recycled. 17% goes for treatment. 7% is incinerated. And then 6% is fuel blended. And for the incineration, that's pesticides, poisons, reactive, residential pharmaceuticals, which goes to a U.S. Ecology federally permitted hazardous waste facility. And then the fuel blending is flammable liquids, gasoline, diesel, and oil-based paint. That's that one. And then for recycling, this is our current vendors, because I know a lot of people always ask where our materials go. So I had our materials recovery facility tell me the vendors they've used in the last year. So for cardboard and newspaper, there's a good number of companies we've sold material to in the past year, and almost all of them, I looked them all up on the internet to see what they do with their material, and they just said material use, put back into manufacturing process. So that's pretty standard for paper. You turn it into a lower grade paper, almost always. Beverage containers, turn back into more containers. And this company was actually pretty interesting. They use all kinds of cool little products out of aluminum. But they did a lot of transportation, like I think they are involved in making trains and cars and even military, Navy ships and all kinds of stuff. And then, of course, packaging and construction materials for buildings. Plastics. Cellmark Recycling at first put me in a panic because they did list incineration as one of their things. But I looked a little further, and that's in Asia and Europe. They incinerate, but here they use it back in manufacturing. They turn it back into a pellet and send it off to be turned into new material or new products. Glass, that's the only one we have to pay to get rid of. That goes to Strategic Materials, and they do all kinds of interesting things with it. Then tires. They go to Global Tire Recycling, Landscape Chips, Playground Cover, Artificial Turf. That's, if you ever watch the football where it's an artificial turf field, you see them sliding on the ground, black stuff comes up, it's tires. Get that in their mouth and be very nice. And then it gets blended in with asphalt as well. That adds longevity to roadways. And then scrap metal, pretty standard, just turned into new metal products. So that's basically all I put together. Mostly wanted you guys to know kind of where we, or how we are attempting to address the board's direction.
So is that the statement you're going with right there?
That's what we have come up with at the moment. Yes.
Is there any discussion about how the pushback, where the pushback will come from regarding the ban?
It'll definitely come. It'll come from a number of areas. But I think in the past, it's always been grocery stores and stuff like that that's always kind of put up resistance to it. And I actually believe that Publix has already been looped into the process with the city. And I think they're on board at the moment. So if that's correct, if I heard that right, that's a big positive step for that.
That's how I understand it, too.
Yeah.
From one of the commissioners.
Yeah,
excuse me, David, you're out of order.
Yeah, the city did their first reading on their proposed ordinance dealing with plastic bags and styrofoam. And it passed, and there will be a second reading here shortly, but they're proposing for that to go into effect in August.
I have a couple things on this. What is the potential... I would imagine there's going to be some amount of plastic contamination in the biomass that it goes to the current biomass plant.
They are pretty strict. I'd be surprised if there's much, if any.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, if they end up finding plastic contamination, would this shut down that process?
I think they would just pull it out. They have a very select list of who brings the material, and their quality control and what they require to be delivered. I mean, our yard trash didn't meet their specs, and they told us, don't bring it. So,
The next thing is, in terms of, there's a lot of paranoia, I think, about the burning of these, but there's incineration facilities used all over the world, and they're designed to remove the things that are released by burning trash. Like municipal solid waste, which has a huge amount of plastic in it.
Right.
And the other thing that feeds into this is, like, we're proposing banning something that could be put in Gilchrist, Union, Bradford, Marion, all around us. Air does not respect county boundaries, last time I checked. And seems like it could be short-sighted to eliminate the ability to do something here if it was done right versus having it done across the county line. It's kind of like I have an issue with Alachua County not having their own landfill and essentially paying to send it to a poorer area. Like, it's an environmental injustice.
Yeah. There's a term we hear often.
So, you know, I mean, it's dirty water, dirty air, all that stuff just moves to the lowest cost spot, which if, or where you can do it, which if that's right outside the county boundaries, we still breathe that exact same air. So,
David's next.
Yep.
Then George and then Gus. Okay, George.
Go, George.
Pass. George, yeah, you're next.
Well, I just had a... does Waddell perhaps be a manufacturer of plastics because they tried to push the waste incineration as a justification to make an end run and continue manufacturing plenty of it, as well, you know, that sort of thing.
Right. Potential. I don't know... I have not been made aware of anyone specific other than at citizen comment at the city commission meetings. I'm not aware of anyone who is actively saying, if you do this, we're going to sue you. I know, what's the county that's got the lawsuit? I'm blanking on it at the moment.
Lawsuit for what?
The plastic bag ban. I could have named it 5 seconds
Dade
ago.
Dade County, I think.
Yeah, Dade. Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, whoever's suing them, I think, would be your first candidate for who's going to stand up here and say, hold up. So,
Gus?
So, just going back to the biomass point, biomass plant, I mean, they do have very rigorous quality control issues, just because, for what you just said, they are not designed to burn plastic. So
yeah.
They allow it in their process. They're going to form their permit pretty fast.
Okay.
And then, just to clarify, so this language regulates what we do with the waste we collect. It doesn't regulate what can be done in the county as far as setting up a facility. That's where the land use portion comes into play. That makes sense?
So this is just saying the county can't burn
their
plastic.
So this says we cannot use our waste...
Yes.
For that purpose, here or anywhere else.
Yeah, the waste stream that we
control. Waste stream. It regulates the waste stream.
So this would mean that you couldn't, if a incineration facility opened next to New River, and they were like, send us your waste so we can burn it, you would not be able to send your waste
right there.
Correct.
Even closer to home, the Newberry asphalt plant, they're going to be allowed to burn garbage pretty soon. This would prohibit us from giving us our garbage to them.
Oh, God.
That's interesting.
That makes sense?
Argo cement. Has anyone at the county actually looked at the overall impact, whether this is a good decision or a bad decision?
Well, this is not something we're doing right now. So it's we're just putting what our current practice is in practice.
Because you haven't done something doesn't mean that you should never do
right.
it. So I mean, is there an indication that it is less environmentally bad to burn this rather than putting it in a landfill forever?
Hopefully we're recycling it.
You can't recycle like 6 out of the 7 types of plastic, and even within those you can't recycle most of them.
I will say the initial reason I got invited to these meetings was the first version of wording that I put forward was that if they can demonstrate a net environmental benefit, then it would be considered. It wouldn't be an outright ban.
Yeah.
And I was the most hated man on campus. my understanding is that is not a direction that the board or our community is interested in, whether it's a benefit or not.
This is exactly the plastic bag ban repeating itself, which is potentially bad science supporting a potentially bad policy that seems environmentally friendly. And whitewashing problems does not make them not problems. So going and slapping a layer of paint over rot does not fix the underlying problem.
Yeah, I left after the first round of citizen comments at the morning board meeting.
Get that
but
guy.
Apparently at the end of the meeting, a lot of solid waste issues were brought up. And I was told one of the commissioners asked why we aren't like Germany. So I looked up what Germany does, and they incinerate 40% of their waste. So I'm like, well, there you go.
Good next time.
I didn't get that deep into it.
That's something I think that...
No, so you're out of order. Way back.
Very quick question. Sure. Did one of your slides show that it's okay to burn pesticides and toxic chemicals?
Household hazardous waste currently does that,
so
with the things
the
they're required to.
The equipment can clean it enough? So, I mean, I live very
right.
close.
They've,
I do not want to be breathing.
That is, it's not done here. There's special...
Oh, not here.
Right,
not,
there's
okay.
special facilities that achieve these higher levels of certification,
it.
And they're able to handle it. They've got extremely good scrubbers in place.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So I'm Mike Casting with Growth Management, and working together with Patrick on this issue. And Growth Management is the coordinator for all of the comp plan update. And I just want to flesh out a little bit of information here. Patrick's right. This is our staff recommendation, and the other part that he said there are other parts of the motion that we are still working on, but don't have draft language for yet. And those other parts are, I'm going to read off the motion here. That was on the slide. Providing for material required by law to be incinerated, and that's the household hazardous waste and those types of things. And there's some discussion we're having both internally with the attorney's department, the attorney's office. Do we need to specifically state what we are and aren't doing, or by not stating it? In other words, we want to make sure that we know what we want to have in the comp plan and what we don't have in the comp plan. And the household hazardous waste is federally regulated. That's medical waste and the household hazardous waste. So those are very... Alachua County cannot just dispose of those the way they want to. They have to go to a federally permitted facility. So the question is, does that need to be explicitly in the policy or not? We're still working on that. The other part that we're still working on is... Do we need to explicitly address the biomass question? Do we need to explicitly have a policy that says the county may burn biomass, for example, after Irma? Or do we not need to have that in there because generally things like yard trash are allowed to be burned? So, you know, you can burn that in your backyard with the proper permits, division of forestry, stuff like that. So that's part of what we're still working on. In addition, we are looking at the land use side. On the prohibition of incinerators within unincorporated Alachua County. We're both looking at them as in terms of if there were going to be one, where would it go, which is generally thought to be industrial type uses. But do we also, and what is the most, not the proper way, what is the most direct way of indicating that maybe those shouldn't be an allowed use in Alachua County? In other words, how do you write a clear policy? Because we don't want to, we want, if there are exceptions, we want to write them carefully. And if there are prohibitions, we'll write those carefully so that we don't create loopholes. So that's part of why this is not yet complete, but we're still meeting as staff to work on it. In addition, there are also a few other policies. In the energy element, it has a solid waste related policy that mirrors the solid waste element policy. There are some land use policies will bring. So we're going to bring all of the solid waste related policies back to the board in one, as part of one package, and I believe that's going to be on February the 14th at another one of these workshops. So that's just sort of a bit of a look at the timeline of what's going forward. So both this policy 1.2.5 that talks about prohibiting the burning of plastics, that will be part of that package on February 14th.
Hell of a Valentine's. No, George is next.
I get to have a budget meeting that day, too.
Yeah, yeah. George is next, and you then.
I guess Scott brings up a very important point and about the wisdom of taking on certain policies. And I guess I feel negligent in keeping up with the latest technologies that are approved in the rest of the world and finding out just because a government might take an expedient approach and allow certain standards to be approved and routinely used doesn't necessarily mean that they're really protective. And so I'd really, and I'm, I, it, that is, it's a time-consuming process to find out this information, but I really feel that it would be good for any policy-making group to be aware of some of those potential limitations. And it's an uphill battle trying to get that information, since if a government agency approves something, and a variety of them in other countries do, how do you pick out what's baloney and what, you know, what is politically expedient and up to date?
David,
yeah, I think the critical issue here is what kind of emissions does the technology, the current technology, allow to, you know, still be put out, and what does it protect us against? Okay, and quite frankly, if you use the latest technology, it's very, very good. But one thing that it currently won't do is it won't keep all the carbon dioxide and carbon monoxide, you know, that we're putting into the air, and of course that's contributing to the global warming. By the way, and I'm not trying to feed into this now, but I have an item on here next which is meant to look at that issue and see if perhaps there is a way to relieve some of the pressure on it. I think as far as this county is concerned, you know, we're like 10 times past our limit on what we need to be experiencing in terms of carbon dioxide and carbon monoxide, all due to the Argus cement plant. I'd like to see us not have any more incinerators in this county, or, you know, I can't control it, of course, but in you know, the neighboring counties as well. I think they should, you know, if it's going to be in the state of Florida, let's get a little farther away from us so that we have, you know, our air as least affected as possible. However, burning all these things in a kiln is definitely not the way to do it. We get over 100 pounds a year of mercury that comes out of the Newberry plant, and we get something like 724 pounds of lead that's put into the air.
Which is approved, apparently.
Yeah, well, these are all passed, you know, and it's in the, you know, huge quantities of carbon dioxide and carbon monoxide. Plus, there's all these other chemicals, you know, that you know, result from burning things that are in the air. Now, some of those things can be controlled in a multi-chamber, you know, facility, an incineration facility that guarantees certain temperatures. And if you read, in fact, the permit for even for the kiln, it says that they have to keep things up to a certain temperature while it's running, and they're supposed to slow it down at a certain rate. Whether they do all that or not, you know, who knows? I'm sure they have times where they shut things down inappropriately. And there's all sorts of scrubbers they have on that as well, and who knows how efficient those scrubbers really are. A lot of things they're allowed to estimate. I figured out that the only way that they could guarantee that they had zero amount of the, what is it, the chlorine's in there?
Dioxins.
The only way they could declare they had zero outputs is they were doing it based upon a calculation. Because based upon the calculation, they could say, oh, we have 7 grams per year of dioxin being emitted by the plant. Well, how do you know that? You didn't measure it, you know. You had to do it by calculation. It says there's this much. And, you know, that I don't think that's a very valid, the very valid way to look at it. Plus, the kiln in Newberry is allowed to burn just about anything except hazardous waste. I mean, there's a list this long, like 10, 12 items, something like that, they can burn. Plastics among them, you know, typical, you know, waste, that, you know, municipal waste is one of them. Tires, they're allowed to burn, I think, now up to 4.5 million tires a year.
Zinc and cadmium and nickel in the tires.
And I didn't list any of the other things. I just listed what was in there. You know, I mean, I'd be required to put, you know, say how much zinc and, you know, and all. They may be all accumulated in another category, because the way they set it up to do their reporting is very tricky, if you ask me. So that's one opinion I have on that. And the standpoint is that, yeah, if you could have put together an incinerator that would deal with this stuff appropriately, someplace where, you know, and not putting all of the, you know, the incineration facilities of the state in one location or in one county, you know, I'm not 100% against that, but I'm 100% against it right now in time because of the amount, you know, of these, you know, the greenhouse gases being put out. And so the next item when we get to it will be, you know, a partial solution for some of that, at least for Alachua County.
Okay, excuse me, Scott?
I mean, there's honestly no one sitting in this room is particularly qualified. Unfortunately, James isn't here because he knows more about this than any of us. 16 years ago, though, whenever I took my air pollution control class, air pollution control is amazingly advanced. So the amount of something that is getting burned is not the amount being released. That's very key.
Those were emission quantities. I said 107 pounds. Those were actually emitted numbers.
Permitted to be emitted or emitted?
Permitted to be emitted. Actually emitted, whether it's by measurement or calculation, those were actual emissions. That's from the report from them.
Well, I mean, once again, without evaluating concentration, that's relatively meaningless.
Unless you live a block away from it.
That's not necessarily true. That's not necessarily true, though. You may be a significantly more danger a mile away than a block away.
True.
So, I mean, the nature of air pollution does not work like this. The other thing, in terms of greenhouse gases, mm-hmm. you know what's a lot worse than carbon dioxide? Is methane, which is what's produced out of landfills.
Yep.
And that has 20-some times mm-hmm. the impact of carbon dioxide. So, once again, I'm not saying I know.
Yeah.
I'm saying that no one in this room knows. And that's what the concern is.
I agree with that.
So I'm not arguing that we should or shouldn't do it. I'm saying that no one in this room knows if we should or shouldn't do it.
George next and then go.
In terms of concentration, I can only give this number, at least as of when the Newberry plant was installed, built. The average emission for dioxin, and this is from a journal called the Journal of Organohalogen Compounds. It ranges from something like 10 to 269 nanograms of dioxin per cubic meter of air. They did have, and that was, and the article worded it as routine inspections found these numbers, and that was then. Maybe it's better now, but if you were wanted to hear a number of, in terms of concentration, there was a...
But that's meaningless. That number is meaningless to anyone in this room. No one has any idea, maybe except for you, what the risk of that is. And the people that did have an idea of that were the regulators. Like, there are regulations in place, despite everyone thinking that we're going to hell in a handbasket. The EPA is watching out for us. And so they are regulating these to the best of current scientific knowledge. So, I mean, that's, you know, zero is not achievable. If anyone in this room thinks zero is achievable, you're not living in the real world. And once again, you know, China's air pollution impacts the United States. So you're dreaming if you think that we're not being impacted by incineration. So sending plastic to China, which was what we were doing with our recycling, where it could very easily be incinerated in a facility, might be pumping a heck of a lot more dioxin right back into the atmosphere. Once again, I don't know. No one in here does.
Bob.
Well, Scott's wrong. He said nobody knows the real fact, and I do. I know everything.
Thank you. That was kind of next, please. No, next, please. Was that what you were going to say?
Corrected.
Who else? No. Go on, Bob. No, I know you got a question.
No, Scott makes some good points, but I would say this. I did some reading online just for the hell of it before you came in last time to get persecuted. There were some very long scholarly pieces online about landfill or incineration. And, you know, Scott, you're a scientist. These are not simple questions. In some cases, incineration makes sense. In a lot of cases, landfilling makes sense. It really depends on, you know, how much land you have, how good the incineration process actually is, and a whole host of other factors. So it's not simple at all. It certainly would depend, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there's nothing to stop the Newberry cement plant from burning all the plastic they want, as long as it doesn't come from the county waste stream. Is that our understanding? And we certainly have no idea what kind of... Yeah, there is great technology, probably in Europe they can afford it. They don't allow them for landfill. We have no idea what kind of technology is on that cement plant, or what it would...
They don't want us to.
And it's, you know, it's frankly a little naive to say EPA is looking out for us. Have you seen the enforcement record of the Scott administration? They don't enforce anything. So yeah, there's good laws in the books in a lot of places, but it all comes down to human beings and political will and enforcement. One quick point, if I might. You mentioned the resource recovery business plan, and you said something about a contract. Could you clarify, are you still waiting to get a contract? Or what's happening there?
Because
I thought the contract was let.
We are trying to piggyback off of another county's, that's the zero waste one. We're waiting on a contract. I know that much.
Has it been an RFP or?
Believe that one's at legal, and I think it's been there for a little while.
So it hasn't gone out for RFP yet?
I don't believe this one has to. I'm not completely remembering my tracker sheet.
That's okay. Do you have an estimated time for completion of this?
As soon as I get a contract, probably within a month or two.
As you know, Mr. Chairman, I think the county's already spent $3 million on something with zero, and apparently no plan for a business plan. So,
my understanding was that the business plan was for overall operations, which, you know, virtually all the departments have to accomplish, and that we have yet to hear out of that department only.
You're charged with overseeing this business plan, so I hope you remain as chairman for a while, because it looks like it's going to be a while.
Thanks, folks. Gus, you have something?
Yeah, just to answer your question. So currently, the Argos cement plant is not burning plastic. They do have a permit to do that. They got it 2 years ago. And they're going through the current modifications to be able to do that. They're expecting to start doing that maybe next summer. As far as, you know, what equipment they're going to have to put to do this, their emission limits are not going to change because of the new fuel source. So whatever they're emitting right now, as far as the...
There are no dioxin limits, correct?
For
burning anything. There's no limits on incinerators with respect to...
They have to report. They have to report what the...
Again, there's no limits.
Now, as far as the equipment, there's no additional equipment to burn plastic. I mean, the dioxins get or do not get destroyed due to temperature. So it's just a matter of how hot can you burn this stuff. That's why you can, according to DEP, you can do it in the cement plant, but not in the biomass plant. It's just a function of the temperature in the kiln. The other thing to keep in mind is, and I'm not supporting anything or against, I'm just giving you some facts. When you think about waste-to-energy facilities, you know, their business is to burn waste, and the energy is kind of like a side product of the whole operation. For a cement plant, their business is to create cement. So if you put undesirable material, and a lot of chlorine is undesirable for their purposes, you're going to end up with bad cement. So that's the reason for them to kind of control what actually goes into the kiln. So it's not a matter of just put the stuff, burn it, and whatever comes out, because they do have to keep quality control for their product, which is the cement. That being said, you know, the county, you know, we are looking at getting some consultants to kind of bring us to speed. I'm not an air expert under any circumstances, so we're going to look at somebody to kind of tell us if there's anything we should be worried about the changes are going to happen in the place. And once we get some reports on some additional data, I'll bring it to you.
You haven't hired anybody yet to do that?
I'm waiting for proposals for now.
Good. That's useful.
Thanks, guys.
My memory is returning. So for the resource, I get resource recovery park and zero waste in my mind. I cannot keep them straight. But resource recovery park, we are using our Frankel Media vendor, whose contract got approved at the end of September, the end of November.
Who's that?
Frankel Media.
Frankel?
Yeah, Frankel Media Group. We're using them to do the marketing plan and the business plan, and they're going to bring on outside consultants to do the business plan. And I think they're discussing Kessler Consulting, and then I'm trying to remember lady's name. She was big with the UF Hub. When it got up and running, she, I think, did part of their business plan. I don't remember her name at all at the moment. I've got a meeting with Frankel, I want to say on the 15th, I'm meeting with them, and that is a key part of that meeting, is talking about making this move.
Because they're subbing it to Hessler to do the business plan?
I believe that's what they're planning to do.
Thanks, Patrick. I've got a question for Scott. Do you eat beef?
Yes.
Methane, my dear sir, if we wiped out people. No, it's true. The amount of methane that was produced by beef cattle is absurd.
I don't disagree.
Okay, well, we forget about that. You can't have one and not have the other. Give up something. You get methane down.
Even more absurd is the amount of water to produce the beef.
But that's another bit as well, I agree. And you're not being hypocritical, I'm just telling you a fact.
The thing is, I will defend the handful of younger generation in here and say, it's not us that got the environment where it is. So if you want...
Oh, deal.
If you want to start, if you want to start dictating to me,
I'm sorry, everybody's out of order on that one.
No, we just finished this. It's enough. You have said it. Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I could not resist. Thank you for your honesty. You're a joy. I'm sorry, Bruce. Go on.
Oh yes. Talking about generations, a presentation I made to the City Commission at the December meeting, I quoted from the movie The Graduate, where Mr. Benjamin...
Wonderful.
Plastic. Talks to Benjamin. Plastics, that's the thing, plastics. This was 1967, and that was the thing. He was supposed to make his future in plastics.
Sorry, they don't remember now. You're all too young.
I looked... I thought it would add a little levity to the discussion of plastics.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, you're bringing us back to order because we're having a row.
Yeah, I was about to do
I'm
that.
Sorry, did
so
you have any?
Do we have any other comments on this?
Just one more. Well, I think one more. So you're still working on the language, coming back to the comp plan. You're still working on getting all of this language that you want to put in and present on February 14th. And I think that's... we have one more meeting before that point, right? So, does it make sense to, have them come back?
We're happy to bring it back to the next meeting. We're trying to get it pulled together internally and then also with the advisory committees.
Okay, perfect.
Good question.
And just for the record, I'm still available if you guys want to talk in between, meetings. Okay, let's move on then. We have any other comments from the public on this? Nope. Okay. I'll make a final comment my own on this, and that's that this is more a matter for me as a timing, okay? I think it's possible to have, incineration facilities that are properly built and properly operating, properly monitored, to do burning of just about anything these days. What I don't see is the county having the expertise to either run or even, monitor such an operation until such a time as we are capable of doing that. I think having a policy that says we don't want anything of that sort either for ourselves or for, any third party in the county is probably a wise way to go with that.
Here.
Did you have something to say? The next item I wanted to cover here is I think we've already talked about the resource cover thing. Is we have several things here that were public requests for us to look at. And I want to actually push, because this fits right into what we're talking about, I'm going to move item C up to do it first, and that has to do with plastic banking. I was looking at all of this stuff and thinking, I don't want someone to burn our plastic. I also don't want, I know that, 6.5 of the 7 types of plastic there are cannot properly or are not properly recycled right now. Really, there's ways of recycling 2 of the types. And type 1 is not completely, a lot of type 2 can be recycled without too much difficulty. Who knows what will be possible in the future, okay? I mean, technology makes advances all the time. It might be that we determine at some point in the future that plastic is so valuable that we don't want to use it at all. There's a guy, and I don't know exactly what state he's in, but if you saw 60 Minutes this week, you saw that, presentation on one fellow who's found a way to break down, the sugars that are in plants, cellulose.
Electron beam.
Yeah, and breaks it apart, and you can make fuel out of it, and they can make plastics. And other types of plastics that they can make, they can even program the plastics. You want it to break down inside of 2 months, you want it to break down in 20 years, how long? How we make it determines how long it breaks down in. And, breakdown means like it crumbles apart in your hands. So it's, it seems to be, and what is it breaking out into? It's not breaking down into something that's in it, that we currently have. It's breaking down into something, it's like what breaks down from plant life. So, It's organic in that sense, and it's also recyclable in that sense, in that it can be used for other things. Who's to say? I mean, that we won't be able to get. Right now, they're saying they could use the fuel oil that's made from this plant material to replace up to 30% of the amount of fuel oil that we're using. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, now these are just dreams for the future, but they're not going to be they're not too far in the distant future, since there are things that are done now. They can take this fuel, pour it in a car, and drive off with the car, and it runs. And they can show you the plastics that they can make with it, and you can see for yourself. Okay, so these things are things that they're now presently making, manufacturing, and probably we could go out, and if we knew where they were on the internet, probably buy some of them. to that extent, I think it's silly for us to be burning our plastics and putting yet more carbon dioxide, carbon monoxide in the air, and all the other things that comes from those burning those things, when it might be possible to take these, you know, build something else in the plastic, and in 10 years we might be saying, you know, plastic's a very rare and valuable, you know, substance that we want to recycle as much as we can and use, and perhaps there's, or maybe it's going to be a waste energy product at the time with 100% recapture of any pollutants of it. To that end, since we can't recycle them now, why are we putting them in a waste fill that contaminates them so that they're no longer usable in the future? And that's why I thought of this idea of plastic banking. And for this, I would say, I want to recommend to the county commissioners they consider creating a plastic bank within Alachua County, not outside the county. It uses one of the current landfill sites, segregates, you know, by maybe putting a tarp, whatever they do in between, you know, sections of that landfill, and using it for all of the plastic that comes in that is not recyclable. And in order to do that, let's create a new type of recycle bin, you know, say a big green, you know, put it all in there, that stuff that you, plastics that can't be, so that they're free, you know, separated to that extent. And then the ones you think can be recycled go into big blue and, you know, and go that way with it. And then all of those are put in the landfill. Now, if in 10 years down the road, we can recycle them, fine. If in 10 years down the road comes down something, we have a safe way of burning it for energy, great. But we've essentially, for the cost of collecting, the added cost of collecting, because we're going to add a third stream, right? For the cost of collecting and of shipping it to the land, to this new landfill, maintaining that, in the future at some point in time, we've got something we can take out of there and use and sell. Okay, so I think it's a good way, a much better way currently of using that than putting it into the air as that much more carbon dioxide, carbon monoxide.
And releasing.
Yeah, and releasing it now at a time when we don't have any control over it. So that's why I call it banking from that standpoint. Now, there's other people out there who have different kinds of banking, but they're ultimately ending up in burning it.
So I assume you would flatten or spread, something to make the maximum amount of space in the land.
Whatever they do now, you guys bale it up pretty much, right?
Yeah, it costs about $100 a ton to sort and bale.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that
considered pretty cheap?
No. I mean, landfilling's $40-$45 a ton, something?
That includes all the hauling. The actual landfill is $28 a ton.
Yeah, so I mean, it's like twice the cost.
That's not our landfill. That's someone else's.
That's the New River landfill.
Yeah, so it was our landfill would be a lot less because we would own the land it's going into. But here's the thing. You know, if it doesn't break down in 100 years, it's not going to be putting out methane within any, it's not going to be doing anything. It's just going to be sitting there, okay? So you can essentially throw this stuff in there and pull it out. When you're done, the ground is as good as it was when you first started that landfill.
A couple challenges. It's been a very long time since I had my solid waste classes. You'd be continually generating this. The way landfills are currently operated, and it would certainly exist with a plastic stream, is you'd have a fair amount of food waste and other stuff that's stuck to the plastic. What they have to do at landfills is they do daily cover. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you would essentially, and there's very, I don't, with the exception of like construction and demolition debris, there are very stringent requirements on how you build a landfill. Liner systems, how thick those have to be, what they have to be comprised of, collection system to collect leachate from underneath them. The cost to open a landfill is unbelievably expensive. That's why it's done at scale. I mean, that's why New River is as big as it is. That's why they're going back in places where they can and building more landfill on top of old landfill. I mean, if they're currently paying two times what it costs to put the plastic in the landfill versus just sending it to the landfill in hopes of being able to recycle it, like, that already seems like kind of a waste of money. Stuff doesn't break down in landfills, so it's not going to generate methane even if it's within a landfill. If it's so valuable at some point, it'll be worth going back and mining a landfill.
It's not going to be retrievable once it's that contaminated, though, that's what I'm pointing out.
Depends on what it's being used for. Yeah. And if it is that valuable, we will come up with a way to do it. I mean, there's also, I mean, I think the projections are there are, I don't even know. Way too many years of available fossil fuels that are going to keep the price of plastics exceptionally low for the foreseeable future. For better or worse.
Okay.
Those are the challenges I see. I mean, that being said, I do think separating waste streams to the extent you can do it cost effectively is always a good thing, because yeah. it may not be, maybe it's the stuff inside diapers that's super recoverable at some point and very valuable. Which
I think it's a load of crap myself. Patrick, what's your opinion on this?
I don't think I get to have an opinion.
here you can. We won't tell anybody.
It's politics.
Yep, that's exactly right. I'll stay out of it with personal opinions since I'm here on the behalf of the county.
Okay. Well, I wanted to bring that up as a possibility, and you know. Let's think about it. I will say this, if the whole we don't do it, I'll probably at least personally bring it up to the to the board as a something that they can look at doing. Because I think the first thing that they would need to do anyway would be to look at the cost of it, and then they can say, okay, what would be the cost of doing this, and is there a way we can do it that this would be cost effective, okay, or at least worth our interest in doing.
I have a question behind you, Dave.
And then
Mike?
No, just a quick little piece of information. I think Patrick can correct me on the details, but I believe, is it in April that the board's going to have their zero waste policies discussion?
I'll be there.
That may be an extremely good time to have that part of the conversation, look at zero waste.
Right.
And I think they're trying to do it in conjunction with the city of Gainesville, so yeah. I think some opportunities will present themselves in 2019.
April the 1st?
I don't know the date. It's April.
Any day.
He's got some Valentine's Day squared away. Nice little April. You're a funny lot, you know. Leif, I'm sorry.
No problem. I was wondering, David, do you know if there are any models of this somewhere else?
There is someplace a model for some kind of plastic banking that does it. It seems to me it's more convoluted, and I'm pretty sure in the end they probably end up burning it or doing something else with it. Mm-hmm. But it's basically meant as a means of getting money back to people in poorer countries, for processing plastics that they see, like maybe taking a bag or something like that, and adding it to their trash in some way, also segregating it from it. I didn't really look into that one too deeply because I looked at what I was considering here and saying, if there's a way to do it this way, that's kind of how I felt was the best way to do it.
Okay.
I don't want to see it being burned. This way at least takes all the plastic from the county that it collects and puts it someplace where it's not going to be used for, some waste energy product. So. Okay. We have a couple of other items to discuss here that... the recycling numbers, this was something that Bob, and I didn't go any further with this, Bob. This was the numbers that were given to us on recycling, and perhaps, Patrick, you can input to this on it. The numbers that you give us every year in terms of the percentages we are, didn't you tell me something to the effect that the we get numbers that come from the city, and then those numbers are added to our numbers, so...
We're responsible for the entire county, so it ignores municipal boundaries. But any waste generated in Alachua County, when it goes to a landfill or an incineration place or a recycling person, whether that's a broker or a final user, it gets tracked. So even if we don't touch it and we don't weigh it ourselves, the people who receive it, they... weigh it, track it, and report it to the state. And then the state compiles it all and sends it to us. And then the little guys who do under 600 tons a year, they're not required to report to the state. The ones that we're aware of, we track them down and call them up and ask for their numbers as well. And then all that gets compiled into reports based on they use a system called ReTrack. I don't know if anyone's ever used that, but... it all goes into their little spreadsheets and submit it to the state.
What we're talking about here, by the way, is the reports that the county makes every year about the percentage that we're recycling. Okay, and the state has a recycling goal. That we're all supposed to reach. All the county is supposed to reach, and this is what applies to it. If that's the case, I just have one question. It kind of came up with something you said earlier on that GRAC, which now I forget what the new name is, but they refused the county's, after Irma debris, right?
They took our Irma debris.
Oh, they did take our Irma
debris. A large portion of it. Some of it, in the end, did not. But the hurricane debris, they took a significant portion of that. And that's why last year, I think, in our recycling report, I think we had like 10%
incineration credit
mm-hmm.
Added on, and that was the hurricane debris.
Okay, and we can't count on that every year, of course, because they're not going to burn or get yard trash every year. Okay, so, I think Bob, that's pretty much what we expected to find out. I mean, wasn't it that, it's just numbers that are coming from elsewhere that aren't consistent and have to do with,
Yeah.
I'm not sure we can even say that helps us, that's something that helped us on way of making our goal. I would much prefer, and I realize the county can't do this, or you guys can't do this on your own. The Board of County Commissioners have to give you a directive to this. But it seems to me that the sensible way to go with this is instead of just taking all these numbers and reporting them back, is to have two bins. One of them, here's the number that we have to have, what the state says. And here's the real number. Here's what we're actually doing through a recycling effort of our own, and something that's sustainable year after year after year. Okay, and numbers could be a lot lower, presumably, than, the number we report to the state. But I think that number would be a much more useful number for the county to have.
What would you want included in it? Because right now, you've got institutional, commercial, construction, demolition, of course, residential. I mean, there's all of the waste streams are in that report.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
When it comes to let's take construction, what are they required to do to their waste to consider it recycled?
As long as it is reused in some manner, then they can count it. So all the steel or rebar, things like that, if they separate it out and send it off to be either recycled at a scrap metal place or whatever they want to do with it, as long as that is approved by the state, then they can count that. Concrete, they'll crush up and reuse on different projects.
Now, one thing that you just said that sounds different than what I had understood it to work was that they have a certain amount of what the state likes to do in terms of presumabilities, okay? Because they do that all over, and also they do it in agriculture all over the place. Where if someone has these products and they're segregated, the concrete's here and the steel's here and this is there, that's considered recycled, regardless of whether it's actually been sold and reused or not. Is that your understanding of it, or?
That is not my understanding.
Okay. I'll have to look into that more then, because that was something I had heard. And I actually heard that from someone in the business of doing
that. Right. Because I know this isn't the C&D side, but for the side that goes through the transfer station, at that materials recovery facility, we count the outgoing tonnage. So once it is sold to a recycler, that's when it gets counted. So we might have excess inventory on site, and it would just go on next year's report when it gets sold then.
Right.
In my mind, I always assumed it was the same for C&D, but I haven't verified that myself.
Okay, so what were the other categories then?
Institutional. Now I'm blanking on it.
The categories
are commercial.
The state report is, they categorize it by substance, like it's glass.
Yeah, it all gets mixed in together.
Metal, and they have separate categories for each.
Right, component. The number that gets reported that everyone asks about, that includes everything. So.
Okay. Are there any things that logically should be left out of that? I mean, are we calling things recycled that are really never reused properly? Or?
I mean, of course, the one that this group in particular would probably object to is the stuff going through GREC, anything that's incinerated for energy. But the rest of it just however you want it to be determined.
Okay, so I think that would be a good way of looking at it, because we've got these numbers that are just kind of getting added into us, and I think that number is a pollution, if you would, of our.
Right, and I will say for the yard trash portion of it, even before it was being incinerated, it was ground up, and the mulch itself was given away or used on different projects, and that counted as recycling.
Mm-hmm.
So it, with the use of GREC, even if it comes from an outside county or wherever it comes from, since it's done on site, they allow us to count a portion of it.
Wow.
So that part, it ramps up that number, where before we were still recycling our yard waste just through mulching and giving it out and doing stuff with it. It wasn't being burned, but we still got to count that credit. Now it's just a much higher
number. Is yard waste the only number that's in that? How about all the other stuff? How about just when they get in a load of stuff they burn for?
The haz waste stuff's in there, but it's very minuscule.
Now, what about the normal materials that they use for, for burning for energy? I mean,
like coal?
Well, I mean, or even the wood chips. I mean, if they get in, for burning in the same facility,
The
the wood chips, if it's going to the whatever the rec is called now, that is considered a recycling credit.
Even though it's coming from out of the county and we're...
I don't know why they did that.
Okay, so you know, that's kind of the scary part of that, about that recycling number that makes me have no trust in it whatsoever because, you know, not because you guys aren't doing an excellent job putting it together, but it's because the way you're prior to put it together makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah. Oh, it's not something that we talk about except for when we have to submit the number.
I think Bob wants to mollify factory. Bob, you have a question.
Well, I think I sent you some numbers, an old memo I'd written or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And it probably came about because the Sun misreported the recycling rate. They showed
they've never done
they
that.
Showed it was 60%. The next year it went to 30, and then it went to 60. I mean, it was a ridiculous story. But here's my message: the state has a goal of 75% recycling. And you just and this is important because the commissioners actually believe this, and it's nonsense. You should ignore it. You shouldn't. You know, this shouldn't be your North Star. I think that rate's nonsense, and you've touched on the reasons. All kinds of strange things are counting. Yard waste is. You know what the two biggest components of the recycling number is in this county? It's not glass. It's not cans. It's not paper. It's C&D waste and yard waste. And I don't really believe the C&D waste numbers. They're 90%.
Yeah.
And there's no way that 90% of the C&D... Just go to a C&D landfill. Yeah. I mean, there's no way that 90% of that's being recycled. But that's, I guess, what the C&D guys are reporting. It ends up in the report. It's a nonsense number. Yard waste is, forget drag, is a huge number. So if you put stuff in the curb and it's picked up and ground up and used for something... How's that any different than if you just throw it in the woods next to your house? There's no difference, but they get this huge credit for it. So if you actually look at what matters, what, you know, to me at least, what matters is the stuff that Patrick wants to sell to recyclers. It's glass, plastics, paper, steel, aluminum. That's the stuff we think of when we think of recycling. So what's the rate of those components? What you said, Dave, what really matters? The rate of recycling on those components is about 30%. And it's been 30% forever. It hasn't changed. And so, you know, what I think is relevant is not this pie-in-the-sky 75% number, which is largely phony. The goal's phony. What really matters is, in my mind, how many pounds per person are we creating? In terms of paper, plastic, steel, cans, et cetera. How many pounds per person? And is that rate declining with time? And I think it's around 20 pounds a year per person or something like that. There's a number you guys have.
Right.
It's a good number. You do good data on that.
Right.
And if it's 20 pounds a year per person, it should be going down. And it's not.
Yeah, I think it's almost a ton of person per year.
Is it of all materials? But that's divided into C&D.
I don't believe that includes the C&D at all.
But if you actually look at the components of the stream, I mean, paper is like 3%. Glass is like 3%.
Yeah.
Plastic.
I think the C&D... Like,
they're all tiny, but that's the stuff that really matters.
Yeah.
And to me, that's the stuff we ought to be aimed at reducing. So when you go down to the student ghetto and you open one of the trash bins, and you see all that crap in there that's not being recycled... That's what's obnoxious to me. It's not that we can count some number for yard waste that's meaningless.
Bob, could I ask you if you... This is, I'm being serious, that 20 pounds per person per year for not just glass, all that stuff?
I kind of pulled that number out of my you-know-what.
I was going to say, I could do better than that in a week.
I think Patrick's dividing the whole waste stream by the number of people.
Oh.
And that includes C&D and yard waste and everything else.
Oh, okay.
I'm just
looking
at those components that we... I'm probably wrong. It's probably not 20.
Yeah,
it's not a ton.
Right. The number that we use going through the transfer station, which would be your municipal waste and your recycling and all that, is around, I think it's 0.8 tons per person per year.
That's a small number.
Yeah. Because that includes what they do at restaurants and all that generated because of the residents.
So it's not 20.
Yeah, it's good.
Thank you for the clarification.
Yeah.
Why?
If everyone does 20 pounds a year...
Maybe it's 20
very
a week.
That's better.
That's closer to it.
Yeah,
it probably was 20.
Yeah. Okay.
But again, if you can get that per capita number down, then we
that's
have
a very
then
good
we
measure.
Have something.
Yeah. I think that's an excellent.
We're distracted by these 63% went to 59%. Who cares? It's irrelevant.
Yeah.
That's my lecture. Thank
I really
you.
Agree with you, but okay. I'm right there.
I'll try and work on something that makes a suggestion to the Board of County Commissioners, and we can look at it next time.
And I would point out that, you know, combination what Patrick does and the state does in collating the data, there's a lot of really good data there. And you can go through it and crunch it going back 20 years by component. How many pounds of glass, how many pounds of plastic, how many pounds of steel, et cetera. Every year by county, every county in the state. So there's a lot of data there to chew
it's
over.
It's interesting to watch glass go down, newspaper go down, plastic go up. It is very telling of what society is doing.
It is.
And I will say that the per capita tonnage is one of our metrics that we do report every year.
Is it going up or going down?
It's going up.
That's the problem. No, and Patrick's honest about it. And his data is honest, so forget the 68%.
Is that a per person number that's going up, or is it just overall?
It's the per person. Okay. And we're growing as a community, too, so... Yeah.
That's why I asked.
And the entire community goes up, so we're producing a lot more is flowing through the transfer station. We're actually, at the moment, we're packed because of the holidays. Mm-hmm. But our society is based off of consumerism, and that's our entire industry. That's all we have. And you take that away, and garbage problem solved, but society will collapse on us. So it'll be interesting trying to get people's mindsets to change on something they've been programmed from birth.
Okay, thank you, Patrick. And by the way, thank you for the tour you gave me. That was very enlightening and very useful, I think. Thank you for time here. Okay, the rock conservation area. Oh, also, now I'm not sure exactly what this is. What is the rock conservation area protection?
Newberry Road? West of
I-75. Okay. You want to go ahead and give your presentation for that?
Mind?
Yeah, please.
I will interest the chair.
Well, I'm going to stand.
I think this lady talked to us before.
I don't know how to do this, but there's just little maps that have to be brought up.
How long is your presentation, by the way? I need to limit your time because we have another item that we have to deal with.
I promised Steve that I would be brief. It's just an awareness presentation. But first, a little bit of cheer for this group. After all these lofty discussions of problems that are almost unsolvable, politics, issues and what are we going to do in hand-wringing, I want to tell you something very positive. My name's Barbara Wood. You may remember I presented a plastics presentation to you last fall, and my focus has been on plastic straws. So in concert with our recent vote to ban the plastic styrofoam, I want you to know I went to my Publix manager, took him aside, and I asked him, why is it you do not have paper straws on your shelves? And he said, I will find out. I don't even know if our vendors carry them. It was all plastic stuff, mostly from China, of course. 2 weeks later, he said to me, I have decided to email corporate and ask them to include paper straws as part of our Greenwise program. Well, I told him he was a wonderful person, and I was going to tell everybody. His name is Jeff Thompson, and he's at one of the bigger Publix in town. 2 weeks after that, which was only 10 days ago, he saw me in line, and he ran down the aisle, and he came back and handed me this. Publix now has paper straws. So we've done one little thing with one Publix. A friend of mine said that her Publix now carries them too. It's not all over town yet, but the vendor that supplies Publix, they has this one paper straw. Biodegradable, not made in China. I mean, a big improvement. It's there on the shelf.
Pass it around.
One person can make a difference. One person can make a difference. And if each of you went to your Publix manager and said, how come y'all don't have any plastic, the paper straws on the shelf, it might matter. You know, grassroots movements are very, very important. Well, I'm going to switch off plastic.
Can I just ask one question? Is the price competitive?
It's a little bit more expensive. I think that was $2.49.
Okay.
But so what? I mean, we have to pay one way or the other, whether we want to breathe in plastic and stuff, or
just to
pay a little more. I'm willing to pay more. And I am the, not the tree canopy. You'll have the,
I get it. Okay. Barbara, do you want to be interrupted with questions, or you want to do your thing first of all?
Up to you.
It should be up to you. You're in charge.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, Steve and I spoke about this presentation at length before he allowed me to be on your agenda. I am afraid it's not lofty enough for you all to address, but I wanted to make you aware of a situation that is happening. I'm concerned about environmental issues and on very low levels, not just what we breathe. You all may be aware that the Rock Church, which is a big worship center, bought 160 acres on Newberry Road, on about 100th Street, I'll say. And they submitted last month to the Alachua County Commissioners their preliminary request for development of 60 of those acres.
I don't like that.
That's the one. That's one. All right. So it's kind of turned around.
Actually,
but
that's Newberry Road right here.
Newberry Road is here. This is the 60 acres they'll be trying to develop. They're going to put in a gigantic 40,000 square foot church, homes, multiple family homes, rectories and whatnot. That is not my problem. My problem are these areas. Those are areas that have been set aside in permanent conservation by the county, but they're only in temporary status. Building cannot begin until they're put into permanent status. That's part of the county laws. This is Newberry Road, and this area is a sinkhole, pristine, mature trees, has a ravine, and people have been walking down in there. They've made some footpaths. In this area, and that can be accessed over here, is a place called Buzzard's Roost. Buzzard's Roost is a famous, by famous I mean it's on Google with many, many links, directions how to get there, all kinds of comments and
Buzzard's
blogs.
Buzzard's Roost is over here.
Buzzard's Roost is a trail biker's paradise. They've built ramps. They have built multiple paths. They have trampled down trees. Roots are exposed. Bushes and, of course, on the floor of the area that they're riding over is damaged. But I know there have been two extensive inventories on that, one done by Environmental Protection and one done in 1996 by an ecological inventory project which included Buzzard's Roost. It's only 27 acres. But the reason I mentioned Buzzard's Roost even though my focus is on this 3.66 acres here, is that I don't want anything to happen to these areas during the development of this area. Currently, trail bikers are there every day. I see them. I live in an adjoining area here, and I'm intimately familiar with this geography because I've gone there myself hiking in the past. And I am concerned that this area will become trampled, and on it there are several species of fern, two of them rare, Trillium, you know what Trilliumar grows on the floor of forests? They're very delicate. They come up in about February, I believe. And when you have a giant church here, the two entrances being here and here from Newbury Road, the church is going to be close to Newbury Road, I think in this area. There are going to be a lot of people going back and forth there. And curious people will be going down into these areas. I went to the county commissioners meeting on the 11th of December, I believe, and spoke to this to the commissioners. And I had a very good response. What I have requested is that this area be protected, and you can't just have somebody standing out there guarding it night and day. I've asked that some kind of fence be put up to protect the area. One of the commissioners asked, well, what what needs to be done? I think they asked Christine what needs to be done to do this, and that has to be incorporated in the final development plan for the conservation area. As you may or may not know, in Alachua County, each conservation area has to have special permission to let trail bikers on there. But it's really not enforced like many of our other environmental policies. So that's why I'm talking about putting up the fence. Signage doesn't seem to work alone. Even down logs, you know, the logs they lay across, they just lift their bikes over it. And so I just wanted this committee to be aware that here we have an opportunity to preserve this very, very beautiful area, which if you ever are out there, just stop and park. Park here, there's an area, and just look at it yourselves. Just be aware that any reference that you can make or any kind of recommendation that you can give the county commissioners or the environmental department to mandate that this area be protected from public damage due to footpaths and so forth, I would appreciate. just so you know, it's also a FEMA flood zone within that area. And currently, the recommendation, which after an inventory that was done, on-site inventory that was done, they recommend that they close the main trails that have caused so much damage, replant them or let them regrow, and just have single footpath to let people go down in it. Because the county does want people to enjoy those areas, but to try to keep out the trail bikers and the damage is being done now. Well, that's it. I just wanted to bring it to your awareness that we have opportunities in other areas to protect the environment too, and to ask you to, if you see your public manager, ask you to spread the word, ask them to get paper straws on their shelves.
Thank you, Barbara. Appreciate that.
Good question. Ms. Woods, what road is that beyond Newbury Road? What's the one going east-west? North-south.
East-west and Newbury Road.
Yeah, I know, but what's the boundary on the west side? How do you get there?
I think 98 is over.
It's on 98th, just past 98th.
98 goes into Hamilton Heights.
No, yeah, I know now.
It goes next to the big Baptist church.
Yeah, I'm with you. I know where it is. Thanks.
So is this west of 75th? Yeah.
Yes.
Tower Road?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, west of 98. Far west. It's on west of 98, that joint, mm-hmm. which is where the big, you know, they have a Lutheran church and a Baptist church and a Methodist church. And then just church a little ways down.
Due north from here.
This area.
And so, go ahead.
You want to make the bottom part of it, the south part of it, to be available for hikers and people just to wander through.
I want there
but no
to be
bikes.
A gate or an entrance way for single, you know, for a footpath.
Yeah.
But okay. Not for the biker just to go down in there because it's going to be exposed right there in the front.
Well, I know
and
what bikers do.
This is an entrenched group of trail bikers that go to Buzzard's Roost, so they're going to be looking for other places at this point.
Buzzard's Roost is mostly privately owned, as I understand.
Yeah, it's not on the site. It's off to the east of the site.
So it's right across from it. But, you know, they are going to be looking because there's maps as to how to get there, and they do mention this area.
Thank you, Mr.
So what is the church's position on your concerns?
Well, the attorneys were all there and everything else. And, you know, I'm not a science. I mean, I'm a registered nurse, but I'm not a scientifically.
Oh, well, what does the church say?
I can speak to that. My name is Ileana Fardy. I'm one of the Development Review Natural Resources Group here at EPD. We have met with the church representatives and the applicant about the issue of the bikers. As Mrs. Wood said, they've created quite a bit of damage over the years of them being allowed to be on the property. The church understands and wants that use to be, you know, finished and terminated. So to that extent, I think it'll be easier when there's actually a facility there to be able to prevent unwanted visitors from, you know, using the area. We have talked extensively about putting up certain barriers. Obviously, you know, if the bikers keep using those areas, there will be trespass, you know, like they'll have to do some other type of, you know, ways of...
Like a wall? Like a wall?
Metal or concrete?
I'm sorry, you can...
MG, go ahead.
What keeps the bikers out of that area now?
Nothing.
Well, then why aren't they in there?
They are in there.
Oh, they are in there. Yes, okay. Yes, I'm trying to prevent further damage. Now, this area has not been damaged yet.
There are bikers and there are ramps in there. There's a lot of invasive exotics. So they have a lot of other issues besides just the bikers in those CMAs that they have to, I call them CMAs, conservation management areas. They're going to have to do some invasive exotics removal, some replanting, some erosion control. You know, there will be some work done in the CMAs from just a standpoint of restoring them. And once we get the bikers and those heavy users out, a lot of the vegetation will just start becoming reestablished.
So will the church pay for fixing up the area?
Yeah, so right now, as Mrs. Wood said, they went and got a preliminary development plan approval. They have to come back with a final, the complete engineer site, and then the complete paperwork for like a management plan for those areas and the protective instrument, as she said. There will be a conservation easement over the green areas, and all of those activities will be outlined in the schedule.
My understanding is the only real shot that we have at this, now this is, I'm just speaking as a public person, is that if it's incorporated into the final development plan for the CMA areas, mm-hmm. if it says, and then that area must be fenced, because just putting logs down, they just lift their bikes. See them do it. They just lift their bikes across them. I mean, they're a very ardent, enthusiastic group, and they're not going to give up easily.
So. Yeah, and the fence, I mean, we'll have to evaluate that because it's not consistent with wildlife movement to put a big fence. If you're preventing bikers from getting in, you're preventing a lot of other things from getting in as well. It should be able to utilize it. So, I mean, it's something that definitely requires additional conversations with the applicant to make sure that whatever solution we find it's going to work. Otherwise, you know, we're doing a lot of work for nothing, you know.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm going to have to cut you off here just because we need to move on to the next subject. And with a final comment is that I think we need to verify or guarantee that there's some kind of signage up there to implement this. And I think that's the only way you're going to get through to people. You know, if there's too much damage going on. The last item here is a fairly important one. As you all may know, the county and the city are partners in a zero waste Gainesville plan, which they're both working on, supposedly in tandem, but I mean, I know they're at least working on them part by part. And we have this particular memorandum from Mayor Poe of the city of Gainesville, and it is itemizing or discussing an ordinance, the first reading of an ordinance, which the city of Gainesville passed this past Thursday, which in essence bans the use, and this was, by the way, put together in coordination with Publix and local food service businesses, so it's not something they did in a vacuum by any means, to ban single-use plastic bags and styrofoam containers. So this was submitted to the county, and the county has formally given us the task of doing a review of this and a response to them. And of course, we've been, you know, we've had our forum last year, and we, you know, have been due more than one meeting, I think, to deal with the response to that, so that we could give a recommendation to the county. And I wanted to see, what do we want to do? What do, you know, do we want to respond to the county now at this point in time and say that we support this effort or not? I mean, it's been contentious in the past whether we were going to deal with it as a ban or not. But we know the direction the city's already going. So.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Patrick has a question. Sorry, over there.
I will say that another thing I missed by leaving the commission meeting this morning early was apparently this issue was brought up, and I was at our attorney's office this afternoon and got caught by our county attorney and the county manager, and they told me to begin working on our version of this ordinance.
Okay.
So now's the time.
Excellent. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I beg your pardon, I'm losing out here.
I'm sorry?
You asked, we got a question?
Yes. Okay. Well, not a question, but I came here prepared to make a motion on this topic. Can I make a motion on that now?
Certainly. We'll discuss it and wait for voting on it for a while. Yeah. But yeah,
okay. Okay. I'd like to move that we send a letter to the County Commission to implement a similar ban to the one that the City of Gainesville did, so that the city and county time frame will be close.
Okay. May I ask a question for single-use carry-out plastic bags? Are those things with handles?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. T-shirt.
Okay. Thank you.
T-shirt bags. Yeah.
They're not referring to things like when you go to the pharmacy, they put things in smaller, you know, that little Ziploc bag, and it's not going to cover up things like putting on clothing. You know,
exactly.
Like
no,
it's
all right.
It's okay. Thank you.
The little brown bags at Publix.
Right. No, I'm with you. Yeah. Thank you.
Is it the time to bring up my little show and tell?
Not yet. We have a motion that we're right now just going to look for any discussion on. And
okay. So, Bruce, your motion was to draft a letter to the county or to the Board of County Commissioners.
Yes.
To suggest that they come up with a similar ban.
Yeah.
And implement it in coordination with the city's ban.
As close as they can. Yes.
Okay.
No, I told you
not. Do we think similar or same? I mean, I don't know. Like, when there's like a discrepancy between the two at all, does that create an issue?
That's probably going to be up to the city attorney.
Okay.
Who does the actual writing of it?
In the county.
The county attorney. I mean, yeah. Similar would include the exact, but if you say exact.
Right, similar could be exact.
Yeah.
One point we may want to consider is the fact that, you know, we had discussed that, you know, just allowing customers to just shift over using paper bags was not a good solution either, okay? What we were trying to do is guarantee that, you know, there was a push towards using multiple-use bags, that and then there was a problem with that in terms of the, you know, having the plan that guarantees that, you know, those who are least able to afford these, you know, material bags, you know, that are multiple use, that that they are somehow, you know, cared for, taken care of in this plan. And be honest, I can't even support the city's plan if they don't come up with something of that nature.
Well, I can't talk about that yet while the motion is here, I guess, because I was at the meeting Thursday. Mm-hmm. And heard the discussion on it.
You sure can. I mean, you can discuss it.
I can discuss it. Okay.
Anything you want to drink.
There was no discussion at all of the effect on individuals with this. There was a discussion, let's see, the two new commissioners.
Williams and
Simmons.
Yes.
Simmons.
Who, at great length, which they had already done in December, talked about hardships for businesses, small business who may not be able to afford to make a change away from the plastic and pay for paper or something like that. Commissioner Ward had done his work, he'd done his homework, and he had talked with some small businesses, and he said the small businesses he talked with were all in favor of it as is, with no exemption for small business. He said the people he talked with said they're not going to, they were talking about a $500,000 ceiling. If you're under $500,000, you don't have to comply.
Right.
And he said, the businesses said, we're not going to turn over our our tax returns to the city, because once you do that, it's public information.
Right.
So they would rather have the ban the way it is than not have it. The commissioners did decide that in March, at a March meeting, they are going to see, in the meantime, next week they're going to try to pass the second reading. They will see, in the meantime, what sort of comments they've had. The two people that were discussing this had not had comments from anybody. They were just coming up with this thing. So
Harvey's had comments from me. So,
and if I can add on, I believe at the city commission meeting where you got up and made the graduate reference, I wanted the folks not being able to get reusable bags and having that be something put on residents was brought up a little bit, mm-hmm. and I think, if I'm remembering right, they said that local organizations and just person-to-person donations would be what they relied on for that.
Yeah, in some places, stores have allowed a place for people to bring in bags that other people can pick up and use and take with them. And of course, the county, because it's giveaways, they've been doing that, although these are terrible bags because they have no gusset in them. They're terrible. You know, this is a good bag. But you can get plenty of free bags with programs, the city, the county, the health department, all sorts of things put on. It shouldn't be a problem for people to get some reusable bags at no cost to them. But that was never brought up at the meeting.
Yeah, I talked with Harvey a week before last, or about this, and in that discussion, it was basically, it was just last Friday, and I said, I can't support it unless you guys do that, but he was aware of that before. I mean, we've been talking about this for months, so he knows about that.
They were unanimous.
My suggestion is this, is that we respond, that as much as possible to get something in place, that has the same time frame, which is August 1st, but that we first of all make sure that it doesn't, I don't want something that's going to slip over and, some places where they have paper bags, we switch over to using paper bags, because we already discussed that even has a worse carbon footprint than making a plastic. And that's true also of the styrofoam cups, but I'm sure that's probably the first direction they're going to go. But that, at the same time, the any ordinance that's passed, must find a way of guaranteeing that, those who are least able to afford, replacing the containers themselves with multi-use containers, that they're provided with multi-use containers in some way. So the county would need to work out a plan for doing that, at least in the unconfined part of the county.
There was no mention in the ordinance or in the discussion about the paper bags, for example, that Publix has now. They last you plastic or paper. So they would still have those that people can use to take their groceries home. They wouldn't have to have them.
And everybody would just switch over to using paper. And that's the problem that we discussed in the forum, was that it was a bad idea to go that route. So I
find more and more people doing this. So.
Yeah.
Trader Joe's uses paper bags, and
yes,
they're reusable.
Yes, but they have little flat handles on them that.
Yeah.
That often break.
They've used them.
The glue comes. They come on.
I use them over and over. Maybe you're too rough on them.
Sure, probably. Yeah. You can't put six bottles of wine in.
You have to lift them up straight. You can't lift them out. You lift them out, and they'll come apart. You have to lift them straight.
Yeah. You get to lift slowly, very gingerly.
Yeah.
There's a motion on the floor. We're discussing it.
Yeah.
So, where do we go from here? Anyone going to say?
Well, we'll either vote on this, or if no one wants to put up a, and I've made a recommendation, but I don't usually float, amendments or otherwise.
You need a second. George, got a second. Thank you.
I second David's motion.
Second, David.
Yeah, my motion. I didn't make a motion.
Well.
I made an amendment to his. You don't have a second on it yet, do you? Do we have a second on his?
I second.
No.
Okay. So we do. We have his. We have George's second to his. And my amendment is that we modify that so that we one to guarantee that that paper isn't used in place of plastic in this situation, but instead that the use of multi-use bags is put forward, and that those multi-use bags are, and that the attainment of those is guaranteed for those who are at least able to afford them in some way. Okay,
what's the alternative? If, for instance, they didn't bring
woven bags.
Yeah.
Paper is there as a last resort.
Paper's there already.
Paper's there already.
Yeah.
And that's something we discussed a long time ago. And that, you know, we said, you know, to go just go towards plastic, go towards paper is probably not a good idea.
The thing against what you're saying right now is mm-hmm. that the city is taking this up on the 3rd of, I think it's the 3rd of March, it's the first meeting they have in March, to see if they need to put some modification in what they already have. I think it would be too soon to tell the county to put this in. It's sort of a solution looking for a problem. We don't know there's a problem.
Yeah. I agree. I think that what we're looking at here is that the city doesn't have a finished ordinance. Okay, it's got an ordinance that's kind of half-baked. And until they finish it, we can't really recommend the county support it or make one of their own.
It is finished. They've done the first reading.
Oh, no. When I say finished, I mean, you know, even when they get this and they get a second reading on it, it's still not a finished ordinance. Because this ordinance has issues in it that it doesn't cover.
Are you suggesting we hold off until...
Yeah, I'm suggesting we do hold off on this because until such a time as that the city of Gainesville has a finished ordinance. And that won't even be accomplished next week, okay?
I, with great respect, Mr. Chairman, I disagree. It's pretty straightforward that the city is hoping the county can do the same.
Yeah.
And if you're trying to tell me or anybody in the city commission says that nobody can afford a bag, like that, I find that totally preposterous.
Well, then people don't have to buy these.
Of course they don't. Of course they don't. I think we should go for it and see what happens. I really do. It's nice to get something done.
Okay. Well, let's take a vote on it then, and we'll go with that.
What are we voting on?
We're voting on
issue first, and then the amendments, and the amendments first, and then.
Okay, we've got a second. All right, you've got to run it, Mr.
Okay.
Can we just restate the motion?
Yes, restate the motion.
You're
written down.
I move to send a letter to the county commission to implement a similar ban to the one the city of Gainesville put in, banning single-use plastic bags and styrofoam, and the county to do as a time frame that would be close to the city's.
And is that the one you seconded, George, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And David, are any of your amendments?
I won't make an amendment. I suggest that someone make an amendment, though, because I don't feel that that's I have to vote against that. I don't think it's an appropriate motion.
Okay, so if the motion doesn't pass, then you'll motion an amended motion to pass.
I won't make a motion myself on it. I just feel that a chair shouldn't themselves make motions, okay, or amendments or any of that sort of thing.
Very democratic.
I know it's bad. Okay, so we have a motion, and no amendments proposed for this motion. All in favor of this motion?
Aye.
All opposed? Nay. The vote is, what, all to one, but how many do we have?
Six to one.
Okay, yeah, no, well,
NEMCON is good enough.
And it's not that I don't think what you've said has merit, David. It's just... I think the timing is.
You don't have to. I think that you're right on that standpoint, and I just see flaws that need to be fixed in it. But hopefully the city will fix it, and the county will as well.
Commission now, I guess.
Okay. So can you provide me with the wording of that, and then I can write it up and give it to.
Can you give it to him, or do you want me to give it to? You probably have it better than I have it.
I just have to kind of cut and paste a little bit, but.
Okay.
I can give it to him.
Okay,
okay.
Okay,
so.
I don't have the exact wording I said.
Okay, that brings us up to member briefing points. Anyone have anything exciting they did this month? Any place they went?
Show and tell over there, isn't there? Isn't that what we're looking
for? Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes, right. And this, show and tell.
And this goes along with what we've just been talking about. I spent Christmas in Dunedin, Florida, and I went to a small business, which was an ice cream parlor. And this is the sign that they have hanging up, saying that we're no longer using plastic straws.
Yay for them.
And spoons, these come from corn, is what I've been told. Mm-hmm. So, and there are other utensils that you can get similarly. Yeah. Now, whether they are plasticized or not, I don't really know. They said they were biodegradable, but they are also dishwasher and microwave safe. Take a look at them if you want. It has some writing on the back that I don't read. It looks like French, but I don't read French, so I'm not sure what it says.
Donnez le moi.
Voulez-vous coucher?
It doesn't say that.
Hey,
I understand.
Watch
it.
Oh, you
that one I know.
These,
that one
are made
I
of,
know.
These are made of the same substance they use. They line plastic cups with these days.
Hey. Okay, yeah. But anyway, that's what they're doing. And, I mean, and they have paper straws.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if... Yeah. If the will is there, it will be done. And a tiny town like Dunedin, in a with a tiny store like this, I don't even know the name of the place. It's just a small ice cream shop. Both of they have two facilities in the area, and they're both doing the same thing. And I got the website of where they obtain their spoons. It's called Green Products.
Let's say some
fresh. That's what I said.
It is, but I can't read that. It's
put
in
more de
recycled. Probably recycled, right?
It's in Spanish.
It was also.
Well, I know, but placer sin.
No, remorientos. That's not right. That's not right.
It was also interesting at the Thursday meeting of the city.
That's what I was thinking.
In two restaurants.
Anybody speak Spanish?
It's a French Spanish word.
It's certainly not French. Not American. I can't read it, but I can get my French.
It's
Spanish.
It's Spanish.
It was very interesting that at the meeting, city meeting Thursday.
What does it say?
Pleasure without remorse.
What does it say?
Pleasure without remorse.
Pleasure without
remorse. That's interesting.
Okay, we have 5 minutes left, and we have an update from EPD, which Gus is going to give us here.
Very cool.
So I believe you were all given a copy of the report that the consultant to the county did on the best place to put the event centers.
Invectus or something.
Right. So you don't have to comment on this, but if you wish to make any comments on the report, today is your last chance because the meeting, there's going to be a joint meeting between the City of Gainesville and Alachua County to go over the results of that report on January 31st.
What 31st?
Very, very briefly, the consultant looked at three potential sites, one of them Cabo Coppers, the other one Citizen Field, the Citizen Field area, and the third one was the current fairgrounds. And they ranked them according to a number of different criteria that they use, and they came up with Cabo Coppers first, the current fairgrounds second, and Citizen Field third.
Where is Citizen Field again?
Citizen Field.
Where the pool is.
Water Road. Oh,
right.
It was just Cabo Coppers and two sites along Water Road.
Yeah.
When you say Cabo Coppers, you really mean Coppers. It's not on Cabo.
Well, actually, the access road is going to go to Coppers.
I got you, Bruce.
It's the access road, but not the facility.
The facility is going to be most... It's going to be in Coppers.
I read through the whole report. And has anybody done a report to see if it is financially feasible to build what they're talking about?
No.
Well, it wouldn't have come first.
Actually, that's kind of what they did in that report. They were saying, here's what, in their analysis, they talked about how they got to where they were, and they were saying certain sizes with certain facilities.
The purpose of this report was just to identify the best location.
Well, isn't that backwards?
Not to figure out, that's something... That was discussed at the board.
I think that's backwards. I think you need to know cost, and I think you need to know things that could be added to it. I experienced, when I lived in Fort Lauderdale, I experienced Broward County putting a convention center by the port, which they thought, this is going to bring, we're going to have all sorts of meetings and this sort of thing. And there was no hotel attached.
No, the county does have a business plan for the development of the event center, but that's not part of this report. This is a very specific report looking for the
that's all one. Yeah, I think you need a parking garage and a hotel attached if you're going to make it a go, and then you need a larger space probably.
And I believe that's one of the reasons why Coppers
score
higher, because of all the available space for...
Agreed.
I think one of the things they said was they said you needed to have the ability to have an indoor track center, and in order to do that, you really needed a larger space, and that was the reason why. That's why I said I think they did do some analysis of different size places. They said that if you want to have something here in Gainesville that is financially feasible, it's going to have this, and that's more space than you currently, and it's going to cost you more than you are currently, intending to spend on it.
What that report said also, they talked about the number of people in organizations they'd interviewed, but these are all people that would make money from this thing going in. It's not really an impartial group. And those people that are going to use the facility, if it's there, it's not their dime, it's the citizens' dime, it's the taxpayers' dime.
The report's not whether it should be built or not, it's just
location.
If you're going to build it, this is the best location. Yeah. That's all the report's going to
do. Can you imagine the traffic that's going to occur?
The neighbors like it.
On 23rd. Oh,
really? The neighbors are supportive. Yeah. The
neighbors support it.
I wonder why.
Because they don't want
to. It's going to raise the property.
Because
so the main access point will have to come through the city, put now owned by the city to the north. You know, that's what you're afraid of. That's
where it's raised hell with their
property. You mean Beezer when you say Cochran?
I think it's a very backwards situation.
So do we want to make a formal, express a formal opinion to the county on this or not? I mean, from the environmental standpoint, I think, we've looked at it in the past, and, assuming they get all of the proper work done that's supposed to be done, it's being supervised by
the clean it up.
As long as that's done, if they put something on that site where they're planning on putting it, it's, probably not a terrible idea. Saying it that way.
That's enthusiasm.
Yeah, really. Well, I'm not, because I have my whole opinion of what I think is best for the city and for the county as a whole, and that's to put it over, to the east of where they're planning on putting it. But, I can't object to that site for any real reason. Just the fact that, it had the cabots or the coppers, whichever one is cabot, was right there. It's not an objection.
Does it have the room for parking garages and hotel?
They're going to spread out the parking.
That is by far the biggest of the three potential sites.
Yeah. The worst thing about going east is the water table. We all know that. That's why east isn't built up so much. The water table is so much closer. That's why people are moving west. It's got nothing to do with upsetting people. Hell, I'm moving into East Gainesville.
You're going to be pretty soon.
Yes. Yeah, right by you. You'll hear classical. Sorry.
Oh, no. And this assessment was just done, they split the project up, right? Fairgrounds and IFAS facility is going somewhere else.
Fairgrounds portion is going to the city of Newberry.
IFAS is going.
This is just for the event center.
And this was the Victus Advisors thing?
Okay. Yes.
Just think what Newberry Road's going to be like when you go out there. That'll be great fun for your project. Thousands of cars going out there.
So, do we want to do anything at all on this? Do we want to say we're for it, we're against it, or we're not against it? And those are three different answers, by the way, three possible answers.
Well, I think they've done the right thing. I really do. If you got those three sites, that would be my pick. Citizens Field, good God, no, we're stealing all that area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Citizens Field would be a disaster for the locals. It's not fair.
Yeah.
But Coppers, yeah, they want it. A lot of the locals do.
But my question is, do we as a board want to actually weigh in on this, and if so, how?
Got my vote.
We can throw out.
Well, someone's going to make a motion. If we're going to do that.
I vote we follow exactly what Gus said. Do 1, 2, 3. Simple enough.
Which was, we have to give me 1, 2, 3 could be, anything.
They've got three orders. It goes Cabot, it goes Citizens Field, and it goes the fairground. We'll be out there with the medieval fair selling ale to you all. It's you can't do it up.
But has the county done enough due diligence to even pick a site at this point?
With the city. I mean, you have to work with the city. Is that something that's dual with the city? Is another question. But that's a political question.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, we're just going to give a recommendation as far as environmentally. Yeah. So, I don't think it would make sense for us to say we also agree that these are the top three, because from an environmental standpoint,
You can't go.
Can I say what I'd like to do on that? Is I'd like to say we don't object to any of the three sites, okay? Well, and let them make. They're going to make the decision based upon what's politically expedient, what the city and them together agree to do, and all. But that we're saying we don't disagree, or we don't have any objection to using any of the three sites. We don't have any, and the only one we really need to worry about is
we don't know enough.
Yeah, I was going further in the losing end, right at the end.
I'll just say the Environment Protection Advisory Committee. Finds no environmental objection to the report.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Which says something and nothing.
Well, we did our due diligence beforehand, so we didn't depend upon that report. I think that report was more of a, from the standpoint of a business point.
Oh, yeah.
Not so much from an environmental point.
Should I make a motion?
Someone's got to.
I just did, but they didn't like it.
It died for a lack of second. It died for a lack of second.
Yeah, no second didn't. Yeah.
So not unusual with my last-minute things in these meetings.
We're running over. Yep. We need a motion if we're going to have to do anything. Or we're essentially saying we don't care.
Have we had a second to my motion?
What is your motion? Can you say it, please?
I didn't write this one down because that the Environmental Protection Advisory Committee finds no environmental projection to the report on the
objection. Yeah, no environmental objection. Okay,
1, 2, 3. Second. My motion was granted.
Okay. Do we have a second on that?
Second.
We do have a second on that. All sure. In favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. All opposed? No, you heard. Motion passes.
And that's when I said it's something and nothing on it.
One, two, three. Well, that's good. Well done, Fred.
Okay. Anything else? Anyone else have anything to say before we close? Okay.
A comment.
I say
okay.
Good meeting.
Bob?
I'll make a short comment for the Springs lovers out there that the various Springs groups around the state have filed 5 challenges to the Basin Management Action Plans, which are the cleanup plans for the springs. There were 13 of these springs BMAPs written by DEP. The deadline for filing the challenge was last Friday, and 5 of them have been challenged and presumably will go to Department of Administrative Hearings. We'll see if that happens and when. One of the 5 is the Santa Fe River BMAP, which ought to concern this group. That BMAP includes actually several springs in Alachua County, but only one impaired spring in Alachua, which is Hornsby. But it includes 2 other impaired springs in that Santa Fe Basin, Itchtuckney and Devil's Complex out of Ginny. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's...
Poe isn't included in that group, is it? Hmm? Poe isn't included in that group.
Poe's in the BMAP area, but it's not impaired.
Yeah.
So anyway, the cleanup plans were, in my view, completely lame. They weren't going to clean up anything in 20 years, which was the legislative mandate. So we had to challenge them, and it's a real challenge to beat the state, raise the money, get the experts, blah, blah, blah. But there are a lot of people committed to doing that, so we'll see where it goes. Just wanted to keep you guys apprised of that. I know David spends a lot of time in springs.
Do you know, are there any BMAPs yet that have actually been even partially successful?
Yeah, there have been a couple that have been, I think the Upper St. John's BMAP has been fairly successful.
Yeah.
They claim that ones in the Everglades have, but that's debatable. But I will say there's never been a BMAP challenged in the state of Florida until we challenged 5 of them last week.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
First ones ever. We'll see what happens.
I thought it was nice to see in the paper that the first of the year jumping into the spring.
Yeah.
Except they didn't say what the water temperature was.
72.
No, 72.
It's always 72.
The same year round.
Pretty much.
Yeah. It is. Yeah.
Because all these other things with people jumping in the water, they always say in the water with such and such temperature.
Yeah. It's not like jumping in Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
It was actually warmer when you
any time
in the water.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the 50s outside, it was
something different. Yeah, they make it sound like it's a big deal. It's really not.
That's superior.
Okay.
Yeah.
Meeting's concluded. Sure. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks.
Good stuff. Good meeting.
I need the wordings on those.
Oh, yeah, you'd love it.
That
would
be good. Back old feelings, huh?
Thank you, Patrick.
You're welcome. Always a pleasure.
Hessler Consulting.
He does a lot of stuff.
Cool. Yeah. And he's down in Orlando or Tampa or something.
Right in Tampa. Yeah, something like that. But last time I talked to Frankel, that's where they were leaning. And now that contract is finally in place.
I won't respond to emails. That's
So I guess somebody, I wonder who made the determination.
Yeah, I was 57
What have you been up to lately?
Usually, either the board or her.
So you saved yourself the time of having read a plan that they never went with.
I remember
when I joined the
It's on the same. It's on the south.
They said that was one of the main things that they're supposed to get. And we had to
because
that's who we use for the education side.
My daughter says unsubstantiated.
I don't know how they figure all that stuff out. I don't think I want to see it.
So how are you making out? I'm
doing okay. I'm stressed.
Yeah, so
you'll
have
to have
70.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And there's like $25 million or something nonsense. Like, you do know who.
Don't screw up.
Good seeing you. Yeah.
With a name like yours, you're all right.
I tell you, I finally went married to Ireland.
It's like, you know,
You
went to the process of
death.
London has 24 inches, but it's always drizzling. Why do you think I love it?
Complaint update.
I can't reach you, I'm too small.
I love you teasing a man taller than me about his height.
I don't want to get in touch with him. He's going to drag me out to the fireman.
You don't want to next to him.
I don't remember.
I'm always on training. Well, most always do on Fridays. I usually do like half days. I try to like work the morning and then in the afternoon.
I do it if I listen to this.
It's awesome.
If I don't want to get involved in another issue, I'm too fucking
yeah,
not as old as you. I know I do. My predecessor is who had chairwoman.
I met Mary Over. I read her thing in the
I've never been there. I've never been given a tour of it. I'd love to go on myself.
Well, he said if I email you and sign it, maybe George can come to so.
I can't go someplace that George is
going. This one should be 60,000 equivalent. Why don't? How do you get permission? That one says,
well, you ain't get permission. You actually have to advertise it at the meeting.
No. How do you have, how do you get in?
I would contact, I know the name, I'm trying to think of it, he's in my Facebook group. I would contact the person who's actually, you know, the city's manager of GR. And get him to coordinate it. There's two people I can get. I'll get one or two people to give it for if you want me to try.
I'd like to go too.
I'll ask them, I'd like to do a tour. I live down off 20th, right across the street from where the Kanapaha area is open, to the north of there. 20 happens.
I was having yeast
But this is that part from 75th over to 91st, and then there are 98th. But I go down there, I'm going to keep people walking around. I think that would be the place is actually called the.
Is that yours?
No, it's not.